Listen and earn to the Profit Express with your host, Tim Healy. For over a decade, Tim has helped the Long Island business community create sales systems through sales system development, training, and coaching. Tim is also the president and owner of Healy Success Solutions. Get ready as we create big-time profits for your business today. Now, here's your host, Tim Healy.
Well, hello and welcome to the Profit Express. I am Tim Healy, and you're invited to join me each week as we tackle the hottest stories, topics, and trends facing you, today's entrepreneur, today's small business owner, and we do it right here on the Profit Express on 88.7 FM at WRHU. So thank you for being on board. Thank you for listening today. And while you're on Facebook, if you can give us a like, a thumbs up, a shout out at the Profit Express page. Or you can follow me in the show on Twitter at Radio Tim Healy. That's at Radio Tim Healy. So thank you for listening. Well, there's lots in store for you today. I've got money-making entertainment lined up for you. I don't want you to go anywhere. Keep it right here on WRHU. Now, I know as a listener to the Profit Express, I know you are focused on your growth and on your success. That's why you listen. I also know that there are leaders in business or entertainment or sports that you certainly admire. Now, as interesting as their current success, the success of any great leader may be, I've always found real meaning, real fascination, real value in the journey that led them to where they are today. And that's why I'm very excited for today's guest. And he is Bill McDermott, who's the CEO of SAP. And he's here to share his story with you. Now, SAP is the world's business software market leader with approximately 335,000 customers in 190 countries, where Bill leads the company's nearly 83,000 employees. And with more than 120 million users, SAP is the largest enterprise cloud company in the world with business networks that transact nearly $1 trillion in commerce annually. Now, as impressive as these previously mentioned statistics are, and of course they are impressive, I've really invited Bill on to share his story. And it actually began here in Amityville on Long Island, not far from our studios. And he put it into a book, a national bestseller, and that book is Winner's Dream. Now, before I have Bill on, I want to share a very quick, interesting story with you. And Bill is actually probably more of a motivation to people than he may know. You see, if you're a listener to the Profit Express, you do know our contributor, Tom Fabry, who is known as our resident life-wrangling mountain climber, and he's our fitness author and guru. And Tom read Bill's book, Winner's Dream. And Tom found it to be a great inspiration as he was training this past year to climb the sixth of the world's seven summits, Vincent Massive in Antarctica. And as you know, thankfully, Tom successfully summited Vincent Massive a few weeks ago on December 7th. And I was fortunate enough, Bill introduced me to the book as a birthday gift this past year. I read it. I thought it's a great read. I know you're going to read it and you will enjoy it as well. It's a great inspirational story. It's a great sales story. So it's a pleasure to welcome aboard the Profit Express, Bill McDermott, the CEO of SAP. Bill, welcome aboard today. How are you?
I'm great, Tim. Thank you very much for having me.
No, my pleasure. And beyond, of course, your current role and success with SAP, and I trust me, I don't want to downplay that. What really has me fascinated is where it all began, and it began here on Long Island at the age of 16 for you as a deli owner. And it was your experiences as a deli owner that, you know, you're reading the book, really have followed you through to today. So let's start with that, Bill. Why was that experience back at the age of 16, owning your own deli? Why was that so powerful for you?
Well, probably like most of your listeners, Tim, I was working several jobs at the time, three part-time jobs in Amityville. I was working for the town. I was working for an Italian restaurant. And I was also pumping gas and some other things. And I decided to trade those jobs in and work at the delicatessen because I could get enough hours there. Lo and behold, the owner ended up selling it, mm-hmm. and I ended up buying it for 5,500 notes, which meant I was too broke to get a loan, but he loaned me 5,500 notes. I give him 7,000 with interest, and I get to keep the place. So what I learned really quickly is the passion that goes into the customer relationship. And, you know, I had three main constituents. One was the senior citizen, and the other was the blue-collar worker like my dad, and then there was the high school kids. And if you allow me, I'll just tell you a little story.
Sure.
What little businesses have to do is they have to do what big businesses either structurally cannot do or don't want to do. So with seniors, we delivered. The others didn't.
And that's how you distinguish yourself. Bill, do we have you?
Yes, you have me. Do you have me, Tim?
Oh, it sounds like we lost you for a second. You're saying the distinction of what big companies can't do that the little ones have to do.
Yeah. I mean, you have to structurally figure out what the big ones can't do or just are unwilling to do. So I was competing with two Goliaths, and I was like David in the middle. And, you know, I had to really lock on with that customer. And, you know, what I learned with the blue-collar workers like my dad is they were flush rich on Friday night and they were broke by Sunday morning. So we just gave them credit. But the hard part was getting the high school kids to walk an extra block and a half past 7-Eleven in my store. And, you know, one day I went down to 7-Eleven, I see these kids lined up 40 at a time, and I'm like, what are y'all doing out here when there's a big store in there? And the kid said to me, well, Bill, they think we're going to take things. I said, don't worry about that. Follow me down to my store. And by then, I had put a video game room in with Asteroids and Pac-Man. You might remember that.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
And I let the kids in 40 at a time, you know, let them play video games, give them good food, treat them with respect. And to underscore the customer-driven strategy, one of the kids said to me, when we want good food, we play video games and get treated with respect, we come here. And when we want to steal stuff, we go to 7-Eleven. So, you know, it was like right off the bat, you can lock and load on one strategy, and that is trust is the ultimate human currency with your customer. And if you can get that under control, you can do a lot of things.
And it's funny because the small business owner can be nimble where the big corporation often can't be, and they're willing to do. You do some quick market research, you walk down the block to 7-Eleven and figured out what was happening, and you created a new policy, and it worked for you.
Exactly. You know, it's really unbelievable how many big businesses today don't get out of their offices and go visit their businesses, their stores, their customers. They don't know what's going on because they're so locked in bureaucracy and complexity they can't see their way clear to the next day. And I tried not to forget those lessons in that little store.
And it's obviously followed you to today. Now, one of the favorite stories in the book, and folks, you listen to The Profit Express on 88.7 FM WRHU. Today's guest is Bill McDermott. He's the CEO of SAP. We're talking about his book, Winner's Dream, national bestseller. One of my personal favorite stories, and I was reading it, and I actually tweeted about it. I don't know if you recall. This goes back maybe 2 months ago when I was on the railroad heading into a meeting in Penn, and I read your interview at Xerox, which to me was just absolutely classic. Share that with the listeners, if you could.
Absolutely, Tim. Well, what was interesting is, you know, we lived in about a 1,000-square-foot house in Amityville, Long Island, right there on the Great South Bay, and we had a canal in the backyard, and our house was on a concrete slab. So every time it rained or we had a northeast storm, the house flooded. And the day that I was going for my first big job interview for Xerox in New York City, along with my $99 suit, I had 4.5 feet of water in the house. So my brother had to pick me up on the fifth stair from the bottom, carry me to my dad's car, because the tide started to subside in the middle of the street, and he drove me to Long Island Railroad. And I just remember getting out of my car telling my dad, you know, I'm coming home with my employee badge in my pocket tonight. And my father's like, hey, Bill, you're a good guy. Just do the best you can. And I go up the escalator. I get on the railroad, and I'm reading the annual report about the then CEO, David Kearns, reinventing the company on something called total quality management. And what was interesting, Tim, is I started out heading for a sales job that day. But by the time I got to Penn Station, in my mind, I wanted to be the next David Kearns. But the problem with that was I got the top of the sixes in Manhattan coming from Amityville, pretty humble beginnings, and these kids are there from Greenwich and Fairfield, Connecticut, and all kinds of fancy neighborhoods and the Brooks Brothers suits and all.
Right.
And I'm like, damn, I may have overshot it a little bit with my dad, you know? This group looks pretty tough. And, you know, with all their Ivy League degrees and everything. And I was just walking around with that Dowling College degree saying, man, I'm up against it. But, you know, there's always that moment where you have to say to yourself, am I going to panic or am I going to just find a way? And my way of finding a way was just doing what I do. And I talked to 500 customers a day in and out of that store. So I just started conversations with people. I'm like, what are you here for? What are your goals? What are you trying to achieve? And they all kind of had said the same thing. Well, I'm playing the field. Mm-hmm. I'm interviewing with Morgan Stanley and
right.
IBM and Burroughs and all this stuff. And that's when I knew, Tim, it was going to be my day. Because I wanted it so much more than they wanted it. And that's what absolutely sparked my fire. And by the time I got to my last interview with the big boss on 9 West 57th overlooking Central Park.
Mr. Fullwood, right?
Yeah. We sit down, Emerson Fullwood himself, and, you know, this very handsome gentleman, well-groomed. I'm looking over his shoulder at Central Park from the 38th floor of the Avon building in 9 West. And I really felt like I was in heaven, not in an office building. And I said to myself, this is my moment. Because if I get this job, I can control my destiny. If I don't get this job, I don't know what tomorrow is going to bring. So I got to get this job. We get to the end of the interview. So, Bill, we had a great interview. The HR department is going to be in touch with you in the next few weeks. You know, we've all heard that before. And I said, well, Mr. Fullwood, I don't think you completely understand the situation, sir. And he looks at me and like, what is this kid up to? And I said, I haven't broken a promise to my dad in 21 years. And I guaranteed him I'm coming home with my employee badge in my pocket. And then I said nothing else. He tilted his head a little bit more. And he said, Bill McDermott, as long as you haven't committed any crimes, you're hired. So I ran out of that office. Got to the elevator, went down to 6th Avenue and Bunnenberger and started throwing quarters in the phone.
Bunnenberger, yeah.
You had to do that then. You had to put quarters in the phones. And I said to my mom and dad, break out the Corbell. We're partying tonight. We got the job, you know? So it was one of those great days.
You know what? I love that story. And anybody who's in sales can appreciate that story. And beyond the radio, I'm a sales system coach and consultant and a trainer. And I've got weekly conference calls with some sales teams that I work with. And I shared this story, Bill, a couple of times already. And I set the scene and I said, now here's a guy, his first job, fresh out of school, basically. And once the interview and the guy says, hey, you know, HR will get back to you. He says, well, you know, we're not done. And I said to the salespeople on the conference call, Bill, I said, how many of you would have the courage to do something like that? And, you know, they sat there in silence.
Right.
They sat there in silence. That's why I related to it. I mean, that story alone, for you to share that one story, could have made an interview for me, to be honest with you. And it's the theme throughout the book. You know, how bad do you want it? You say, "Hey, I'm going for a dream," and that's what separates you from those Ivy League kids from Greenwich.
That's it. And you know, Tim, in that dream, in that winner's dream, I found my superpower, and I'm just a regular person. But inside of every regular person is a superpower, and mine was just the self determination to want it, to want to be somebody. And you know, one of the great lessons I learned from my mom, and you learn to trust this as, you know, you get on with more and more experience, is the best part of you is you, and just be you. And the more you can trust being you and be that authentic person that you were born to be and have that winner's dream, the more you can achieve great things with your life. I think so many people just forget just how magical their own personal leap can be if they just stay inside their own skin and be true to themselves.
Well said. Well said. It's the Prophet Express right here on 88.7 FM WRHU. Today's guest, if you're just tuning in, He's Bill McDermott. He is the CEO of SAP, and we're chatting about his book, which is a national bestseller, Winner's Dream. And it's just a great story of determination, motivation, focus. So again, Bill, thanks for being on board so far today. Now, you spoke about it in the book. You spoke about trust as the ultimate currency. How have you shared that message with your employees, you know, as the leader in organizations, you know, Xerox and at, you know, currently at SAP? How do you share that kind of a message with organizations that big?
Yeah, you know, you have to really be the message. And I just have a really deep human need to see people in a state of happiness. You know, one of the things that we decided to do with the company, and I've tried to do this in all the companies and all the situations, is have a happy company.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think people can be happy unless they feel empowered. They feel that the work is their work. They feel that they have the responsibility to do a job, and they feel that they have the trust of a leader to actually get that job done and deliver the results. So what I've tried to do is, you know, set a vision, set a strategy. Without a vision and without a strategy, the people will just dig a deeper ditch to nowhere. So the leader has to have the vision. You have to have the strategy. You have to know where you're going to go.
Right.
But once you do, you have to hire great people. Believe in those people with your whole heart and soul, and let them run the show. And just trust that they're going to get the job done. So it's a bilateral belief in each other, and I think that's what builds great teams.
That's tough, though. You know, you said two things there that caught my attention. You know, hiring great people, but then letting them do the job, and sometimes that's a hard thing to let go.
Well, I think self-confidence comes from lots of different experiences where you yourself have overcome the odds.
Mm.
You yourself have taken responsibility, and you yourself have delivered. And every time I thought of myself delivering and exceeding expectations or going beyond expectations, it was always because I wanted to fulfill a dream.
Mm-hmm.
And I always wanted to do well for the person I worked for. And I always explain to people that the most important person in your business life is your immediate boss. And having that honest, open trust and that relationship built on just common understanding, common goals, is so important. Because when you have that, and they give you the room to do what you do, and you bring home the bacon, everybody's happy. And that's really the way I built it. You know, I used to, be very clear, you know, it's excuses don't build stair steps to success. So we don't need to go with those because they're not going to help.
Exactly. And I hear too many of those myself. Absolutely.
Right. And if I give you, you know, the keys, you got to go get the job done.
Right.
And it's just that simple.